Thank you for your prayers. Teresa and I both dealt with the COVID issue, and praise the Lord that someone said the most encouraging words in the Bible are, and it came to pass. So, you know, it has passed us, and so we're thankful for that. And those of you who knew about that, thank you for your prayers. Thank you that you are here today and worship together again Sunday before Christmas. A little different, isn't it? We're used to a packed house on Sunday mornings, but we're not able to do that right now because of the restrictions and concerns. But we're thankful for those who are able to listen online. Just praise God for that live streaming. It was a blessing for us while we weren't able to be here. And yet we still felt a part of things. It's not the same as being here. So we understand how those of you who are not able to be here or have chosen not to be here at this time, we understand what it's like. But we look forward to the day when you can be back here with us in fellowship. And it's just wonderful to be together. You know, most of us can think of a time when we were taken off guard by something unexpected. It may be. You know, you tested positive for COVID. You weren't expecting that. It may be an unexpected bill. It may be that dreaded phone call in the middle of the night. A tragedy has taken place. And you just get that pit in your stomach over that kind of thing. It may be an unexpected breakup. Something you just weren't expecting it. It may be a bad report from the doctor's office. I don't know if you've ever had that. We've had that. The doctor calls and says, you know, doctor's office calls and says, hey, the doctor needs to see you. Your test results are in. It's like, whoa, okay, what's up with that? And so it's unexpected. It may be the loss of a job. You go in and boss calls you in and says, hey, we need to talk, and you don't have a job. Loss could be loss of a job. It could just be the breakdown. Your car, you know, you... Breakdowns tend to be unexpected. We've been through that as well. You're driving along and thinking, you know, we're going along our merry way, and there it goes. It just you run into that. You can think about that kind of a time when something like that happens. And sometimes when that happens and it's unexpected, it's like, oh, God, help me. I don't know what to do. Depending on the extent of that tragedy or that situation, is you're just like, God help me, what do I do? How do I get through this? How am I going to handle this? And you're praying, you're wondering, you're waiting, you're hoping, you're watching for something to happen. And it hasn't happened. Maybe it hasn't happened yet. How do you deal with that? Well, we want to look at a story of Mary here this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. And as you can anticipate, Mary faced something quite unexpected. We find the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary faced this quite unexpected situation in her life. You know, how can this be? Oh my goodness. What in the world is going on? Her world was turned inside out and upside down. And so how is she going to deal with this? How did she deal with this? You face those kinds of things. This is something quite unexpected. And there were these obstacles that she faced. And that first Christmas, did you ever feel like God was distant in your life situation? You know, it just seems like God isn't speaking. He just doesn't seem like God is there. Maybe doesn't even seem like God cares. Well, that was an obstacle here. Hearing from God. You have 400 years between an Old Testament prophet hearing from God and now an angel coming to Mary. There's 400 years. Nobody heard from God other than what had been recorded in the Bible, the Old Testament. 400 years, nobody hears from God. That's an obstacle. You talk about startling that God actually spoke to this young lady. Have you ever been disappointed when things change? You know, you have plans. Think of Christmas. For some of us, it's going to be very different this year, right? Man, we had plans. It's going to be a big Christmas celebration, but we can't get together like we had planned. And there's a disappointment there. You talk about a change of plans. Change plans was an obstacle. She was engaged to Joseph. You know, hey, we had plans. We're going to get married, and we're going to have family in the normal way. Talk about a change of plans. How about confusion, uncertainty, fear? That's an obstacle. You know, she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. In your unexpectedness, you can think back to whenever you faced that, or maybe facing that now, there's just that confusion. What's going to happen? Maybe some fear. I just think of our recent COVID event. When I first realized I'm losing my smell and my taste, and that next day I had the fever, I literally thought, you know what, I probably ought to go over some expenses and accounts with Teresa just so she knows where everything is. Now, thankfully, it didn't get to that. But, you know, those things go through your mind. What's going to happen? I don't know. I didn't know how bad it was going to get. So there's that uncertainty. How are you going to handle that? And then just, how can you have favor with God? Mary was a sinner just like you and I are sinners. And yet, here you have the angel saying, you have found favor with God. That's called grace. Don't deserve it, but it's a gift. Have you ever felt inadequate or like you don't have the ability? I don't know how I can get through this, whatever this is. We're going to call it your blank, your fill in the blank. Whatever it is, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Physical inability. How can this be when I'm a virgin? That's an obstacle. And then just the whole ability to have a relationship with God. How can anybody have a relationship with God? That's an obstacle. And so you, as whatever it is you may have faced or may be facing, how do you get through that? Maybe the obstacle is just a mountain of debt, just more month than money. Or maybe someone that you love just won't listen to you. You're trying to encourage, trying to give some direction, trying to whether it's a close friend or family member or child, and they just don't seem to want to listen. Maybe it's something that you'd like to see happen and it's just not happening. Something you want to see moved and it won't budge. How do you deal with this? How do you deal with those kinds of things in your life? And we can say as we look at this text, how did Mary deal with it? She says there in verse 34, how will this be since I am a virgin? You know, I'm so confused. There's just so many obstacles. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. How will this be? And maybe you have faced that, or you're facing that, or will face this. This is a good message for a coming year, because we don't know what a day might bring forth, right? How will we get through this? There's the obstacles. My mind is racing. And to that, the angel responded. Look, verse 35. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God. How could that be? As I studied this week, and you know, I've preached Christmas messages for 9 to 40 years, okay? It's like, okay, I have gone through this passage before, and yet, you know, looking at it with some fresh eyes, studying for today, how can this be? What is it about this text as I looked at it? And as I studied it, it struck me, the emphasis of this passage is grounded in the nature and character of God. He says here that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, when you understand who God is, that He's loving, He's kind, He's compassionate, He's caring, He is condescending, meaning that He was willing to become man and dwell among us, full of grace and truth. That's the incarnation. That is Emmanuel, God with us. How exciting is that? God was willing to become man. That's the nature and the character of God. And yet you realize that He is God, that He is holy, that He's righteous, that He's pure, that He's merciful, He's gracious, He's almighty, He is able, He's all-powerful, He's omniscient, He's omnipresent. And when you understand who God is, it is not difficult to believe and understand, comprehend the truth that nothing, no thing is impossible with Him. It's like, whoa, it's grounded in the nature and character of God. How could this possibly happen? How could this possibly be? There's these obvious obstacles to come about. How is this going to happen? I was thinking about in the past where things seemed to be impossible. I remember reading that when cars first came out, that they thought that at 60 miles an hour that the human body would not be able to handle that kind of speed. It was impossible. And then they come up with airplanes. And then it was thought impossible to break the sound barrier. 761 miles an hour. There's just no way. There's no airplane, no piece of equipment that could take. The technology just wasn't there. It would be impossible for that to happen. And then we just don't not only have the technology, but we don't have the equipment that's going to withstand that kind of vibration and pressure and all the dynamics. And you guys that are engineers, you understand all of that and how that all works. And there's just no way that can happen. It's impossible. There's too many obstacles. And then just human limitations. There's no way that man can physically withstand that. Remember the car, you know, 60 miles an hour, 761 miles an hour. And yet Chuck Yeager, all those years ago, realized, you know what? He was able to do it. The movie, The Right Stuff, right? He broke the sound barrier. Too many obstacles. No. And now the International Space Station, of course, this is in space, goes almost 5 miles per second. 5 miles a second. That is 17,150 miles in an hour. 761 miles per hour, 17,150 miles per hour. It's impossible. And yet that which was, humanly speaking, was impossible is actually possible. And yet you have this situation right here with all of these obstacles that we of which we've spoken and however many other obstacles. Let me say, how is this possible? With all of these obstacles, whatever it is, and whatever your fill-in-the-blank might be, and think, how could this possibly come about? You realize, you know what? Because of who God is, nothing is impossible with God. Like, man. When you think about the nature and character of God, when you understand and believe who God is, it's not difficult to understand, to comprehend the fact that nothing is impossible with Him. And verse 38 here is key. Look at verse 38. After the angel said that to Mary, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." How is it that you can face that which seems to be impossible? We can learn from Mary. Mary simply believed what God said. So here's your take-home thought today. And that is, witnessing the impossible depends upon believing God. Witnessing the impossible depends upon believing God. In order to witness God doing the impossible, you must believe what God has said. And so this, my friend, is your greatest hope this Christmas. You know, some people struggle with this and they say, "I know what God says, but." You've heard me say it before. There are no yeah buts in the Bible. I know what God says, but. And then they wonder why they don't see God doing the impossible. People wonder, why don't we see God do great and awesome things in our lives and in our church and in our ministry? We got to believe what God said. We have to believe what God has said. In order to witness God doing the impossible, you must believe what He has said. Now, what has He said? Well, I know you have the whole Bible there with you, whether it's on your phone or your tablet or on your lap. But let's just take a look at what God says here in the text. Look at verse 35. Angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing is impossible with God." So let's look at this text and find some certainty in the middle of uncertainty. This passage gives you confidence in any uncertainty you may face based on what God has said. Here's what God said. First of all, we see that verse 35, He says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." As I look at this, I thought, you know what? This is God at work. He is at work in your situation. There's just this uncertainty, what's going on, what's going to happen. And He said, God, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. If you have understood that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you've repented, you turn away from your sinfulness, and you turn to God in salvation through Jesus Christ. You understand that this Christmas is not all about a baby in a manger, but a baby who was born, God who became man, dwelt among us, lived a perfect life, and one day died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for your sin and mine. and you realize that, and you receive that gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, you realize as a result of that, God is in you. That is the fact that God is at work, just as he was at work in Mary's life. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You have God in you. If, in fact, you've trusted Christ as Savior. That's our invitation to you. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God today. That's your greatest hope. If you're searching, you're looking, you're wondering, that's what Christmas is all about. The fact that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And as believers, and many of you are, you understand, you know what? Because of that, God is in me. The Holy Spirit has come upon me. I have the Holy Spirit of God in me. I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, God is in me. The Lord Jesus Christ is in me. He's with me. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So whenever or if you ever face the challenges, the difficulties of life, that's what God has said. He is in you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And because of that, Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. Everything that God asks of you and requires of you to do, he gives you the strength to do it. Why? Because he's in you. And that's when it comes to whatever it is that you face, you realize that fact. You know what? God's at work in this, whatever this may be for you. How do you get through it? Believe what God has said. He's with you. He's in you. We also see verse 35. He said, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So what has God said here? That he is powerful and he is present in your situation. He's powerful. The Almighty God of the universe is in this situation. He is at work and he is present. And he's with you through it, whatever it may be. And so what was true for Mary is true for you. And whenever your circumstances appear to be beyond you, you need to realize God's got this. You know, at the beginning of COVID, we said this more than once. God's got this. And that was all those many months ago. And you know what? As I faced it, I needed to remember, you know what? God's got this. God's in it. And he was with us. He was with us through it. Believing that he is powerful. Whatever, without even knowing what was going to happen. In verse 35, we see, therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. That's God's provision. He provides. And here, this indicates the provision of salvation through Jesus Christ. The child to be born is going to be the Savior of the world, is what he's saying here. He's God, the Son. You're going to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. That's what Jesus means. He's a Savior. Wow. And so you can claim that in whatever situation that you face, again, he provides whatever it is you need in your fill in the blank. We also see God's faithful character. Look at verse 36. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. He is faithful. God is faithful to his promises. Elizabeth's son was none other than the prophesied forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist. He was born 6 months before Jesus. And his ministry started before Jesus, just like God said would happen. God's faithful to his promises. So whatever it is that you are facing, you can realize, you know what? God is faithful. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what lies ahead. I don't know what 2021 has. Look at 2020, right? Look at everything. We didn't plan on that. But God's got this. He's faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his promises to you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the God of all comfort. We have, over this past year, we've lost several church family loved ones. Some of you then have lost extended family or other family members. There are people in our congregation who are grieving. And we might say, well, that happened months ago. But you know what? This, for many, even in our congregation, this is going to be the first Christmas without a loved one, a particular loved one. That's difficult. We need to pray for them. But I want to encourage you that if you're that loved one who's lost a loved one, God's faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's with you. And he says he's the God of all comfort. Whatever it is you have faced or again will face, remember, he's faithful to his promise that all things work together for your good and for his glory to conform you to the likeness of his Son. He's faithful. These are promises of God. He's an ever-present help in your time of need. He is your Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who provides. And so you think of promises like that. And I remember back when I graduated from college, someone gave to me, it's God's Promise book. And it's just a book about 3/4 of an inch thick or so. And it was just, you just read through that and it was just promises of God. Promise after promise after promise after promise. And I'm sure that wasn't even exhaustive. And I just want to encourage you that God is faithful to his promises, whatever it is that you face. And so even as you study the Word of God in light of whatever it is your blank might be, you're filling in that blank. How can I get through this? I need to believe what God has said. And here is what God has said. And start with the promises of God. You say, well, you know, I asked God to do fill in the blank. I asked God to fill in my blank, and he didn't do it. What's up with that? Go back to our take-home thought. In order to see God do the impossible, you must believe what God said. Believe God. And take him at his word. It's not, God, I want to fill in the blank. No, it's God filling in the blank. When we say, I want this to happen, and I have great faith that God is going to do this, whatever this would be, I call that faith in faith. And God doesn't tell us to have faith in what we want. He tells us to have faith in him, right? Nothing is impossible with God. And so we have to go back to his word and we have to believe what he has said in light of our blank, right? And trust him. That's what Jesus did. Here you have the God of all creation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, pouring his heart out before his Father, Almighty God. If it be possible, I pray that this cup would pass from me. It didn't. Does that mean he didn't have enough faith? You know, you think, really? That the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have enough faith? No, what did he pray? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I pray. And it's not wrong to pray, God, I pray that this obstacle will be removed. I pray that everything will work out just wonderfully. But yet, you know what? Not my will, but your will be done. To understand and believe that we can trust a God who knows the end from the beginning. To believe what he says, that he is at work, that he is powerful, that He is with you, that He provides for you, that He is faithful, and so much more, that you believe that. And so as you look at these things and you understand, here is what God has said, look at Mary's response, which will help you with your response, all right? So this will be Mary's response and should be yours as well. Verse 38. I am the servant of the Lord. You see, the servant doesn't go around telling the master what to do. That was her response. I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. The matter in relationship to you, whatever it is, whatever your fill in the blank is in God's hands. You believe that. You must believe that, and you leave it there. You believe it and you leave it. All right? You believe it and you leave it. You believe what God has said and you leave it with Him. And trust Him to take you through it. So what is that called? That's called submission. I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And so you, in the very same way, how are you going to witness God doing the impossible? You believe what God has said and you leave it with Him. And He can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Do you believe that? That's His word. God's word is sufficient to give you help and hope this Christmas. And all year long, facing a whole nother year. You know, God's word speaks to the issues of life. I think of worry. We fear of what might take place. I don't know what God's going to do. But what does God say about worry? Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So God's word speaks to the issue of worry and fear. You have problems with finances, work, marriage problems, boss problems, problems with your friends, loneliness, loss, death of a loved one, unfavorable news from the doctor. God's word speaks to all of that. You have health concerns? God's word speaks to that. Though outwardly we waste away, yet inwardly we're renewed day by day. You have struggles with sin, evil thoughts, anger, gossip, pornography, addictions, sexual issues, lust, fear? God's word speaks to all of those things and more. You need direction on how to make wise decisions, how to grow in Christ, how to communicate, how to be a good citizen, how to be a good church member, a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother, a good child, a good student, a good worker. God's word speaks to all of that, gives direction and help. You see, when you believe that God's word is sufficient to deal with the issues of life, you gain hope. You realize whatever your fill in the blank might be, that you know what? I don't know where it is in the Word of God, but I know He gives me some direction in His Word to help me, and I'm going to find it. I'm going to get into the Word, and I'm going to study it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to ask questions about it. And when you do that, you gain hope because you realize, you know what? Wow, God's Word does speak to this. And so in order to witness God doing the impossible in that particular situation, you must believe what God has said. Now, there's another component here. And that is, the nature of true belief is to act upon it. To put His word into practice. James says, and don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. Right? Don't just listen to the word, do what it says. So the nature of true belief is to act upon it. To believe to the extent that you will do what God has said. And so God says here, in verse 32 and 33, look at this. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus is even now, as far as ruling and reigning over the affairs of the world, he is ruler. He will literally rule and reign in the days ahead, the 1,000-year reign. And he will reign then on into eternity. Of his rule there will be no end. Is that what God has said? Absolutely. The question is, will you believe it? I trust that will be the case. How do we know that you believe that? How do you know if you believe that in fact is true, that he rules and reigns in the affairs of men? You will allow him to rule and reign in your life right now. If you believe what God has said, as you surrender to him in salvation, he says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's not just praying a prayer of fire escape. It's, I believe it to the point that it's going to make a difference in my life. I'm going to allow God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give me direction on how to live in such a way that's going to bring glory to his name. To let him rule and reign over the affairs of your life. Is there an area, many of you have trusted Christ as Savior. Is there an area in your life that you're holding back? Encouragement here in application for all of us is to say, okay, here's an area in my life I need to surrender to Jesus. Because nobody's arrived. If you want to see God do the impossible in your life, believe what he has said. He is Lord, and put it into practice. Allow your belief to affect your actions. Allow your belief to affect your actions to the extent where you're saying, yes, I believe that Jesus is Lord to the extent that I am going to surrender every area of my life to him. Now, that's a matter of growth. There's not a one of us who has arrived in that. But what an opportunity we have here today on the Sunday before Christmas to say, Jesus, I surrender. Here's an area in my life that I need to give over to you. And I ask for your help to do that. You want hope this Christmas? You want to see God work in your life? Do as Mary did. And that's believe God. Of course, the first seemingly impossible matter is to surrender to him. You may be here today, or you may be watching online, you may think, I don't know how I can do that. There's just so much baggage. We want to help you with that. God wants to help you with that. Surrender to him in your eternal for your eternal salvation. And then as you surrender to him for your eternal salvation, you as you grow, you continue to allow him to be Lord over every area of your life. And when you do that, you see God do what seemingly might be seemingly impossible. Because the impossible is what God does best. He can take the sinful soul and he can make it alive. The sinful, sin-sick, dead soul and make it alive. So that you're living a vibrant life that you thought you could never live. And then to help you grow to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for these truths. Thank you that which seems to be impossible is made possible because nothing is impossible with God. And so I pray that we would latch a hold of these truths, that we would believe what you have said, to live in light of these truths, put it into practice, and see you do great and mighty things to your glory. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, just encourage everyone to think about whatever your blank is, and how God has spoken here today. Say, you know what? He wants to help you with that. And His Word speaks to that. And I encourage you to find out what God says in that particular situation, and then believe it and put it into practice and gain great hope. If there's anyone here who's never trusted Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. When we close, I'll be down front here, or after the service, I'll be in the back. More than happy to talk with you about this. If you're watching online, contact the church. Fill out a connection card. We have connection cards outside the doors here, but we also have it on YouVersion. Also have it on our website. And just say, I need help. I have questions. We want to get with you, especially about the matter of salvation and discipleship, personal growth. We want to get with you on that. We want to help you. God wants to help you. He said He wants to help you. And so jot that down. If it's personal, if it's private, check for pastors only. We'll get with you. We'll be praying with you on these matters.